Hey there, friends. You're listening to the Divas with Drive podcast, where we talk about all things mental health, motivation, and mindset. I'm Lori Knight, therapist and certified life coach. Let's get started. Hello, my lovely friends. Welcome back. I am so excited to be here with you guys again today. I'm recording this on Sunday, and it has been an amazing, beautiful weekend. So we always have our weekend staples. We have our loud music dance parties, and then we watch a movie on Saturday night, and we have a slumber party in the front room every Saturday night. So the kids always want to make their palette, is what they call it, and it's just so darn cute, and I'll do it with them as long as they want me to. They want us to. So that was our Saturday night. And so we're actually celebrating this weekend because it's been 3 weeks today that my daughter has been off of her tube feedings and has been drinking and eating by mouth for all of her nutrition. And I always say by mouth, and I always wonder if it sounds weird because that's just the way we've always said it. But to those of us in the tube feeding world, we measure how everything goes in her body, either via tube or by her mouth, and that's how we've always done it. So anyway, it's all by mouth for the last 3 weeks. Like, it's insane. She's 6 years old. And so my daughter Kenzie, she has special needs, and she's been on tube feeds for most of her life. And she got a feeding tube, put in a little after she was a year old. She has a rare disorder called glutaric acidemia, where she essentially can't process certain types of protein. So she's a vegetarian for the most part, but for the longest time, she just didn't have the appetite and wouldn't eat enough to sustain her nutritional needs. And so I bring this milestone up and celebrate with you guys here because I just cannot tell you how excited I am about all this. And she did this cute little dance. I put it in the group and I put it on my Facebook page, and it's just like, I'm just so high on life for her right now. And so she's so excited and proud of herself for what she's done. But anyway, if we're friends, go check it out. Lori Knight White on Facebook and Divas Bounce Back from Burnout is the group. Anyway, I bring up this milestone for the topic of today's podcast because of her being 3 weeks off of her tube feedings. Because there was a time I didn't ever think this was going to happen. I worried like crazy about the complications this process was going to have on her. I stressed about her not registering on the growth chart, which she hasn't for a long time. I worried we weren't doing the right things as her parents to help her. And my mind was just constantly racing about the what ifs and everything. And then I just decided to make a shift. And so something that's been helpful to me over the years is what I want to share with you guys on today's podcast. And it's about the phrase that many of us have heard over time, and it's called the it'll work itself out plan. And so one of my favorite things to say to myself as a calming strategy and to my clients, when our minds are racing about everything under the sun, I focus my energy on the things that I know I can control, and I let the rest get sorted out on its own. And so I just don't waste the brain cells on those things that are not in my power and control. And it's taken a lot of practice, but it's been a game changer. And so the mindset of it'll work itself out is not one of apathy, like sometimes people think. Like, oh, it'll just work itself out. I don't care about this. That's not at all what that means to me, at least. And in fact, I look at it as quite the opposite. It's that I want to be as smart as humanly possible with the resources that I have and make the impact that I think I can make in the smartest way possible. And so when I'm distracted with all these other variables and other scenarios that pull my attention one way or another, I'm not giving my best to the things that are my priorities. And so this is really an opportunity to remind our brain to take that break, to remind ourselves of all the times we've worried incessantly and for what reason when everything ended up working out just fine. And even in those situations where the problem did, you know, not go the way we thought, did that worrying or stressing excessively really do anything for us? Usually the answer is no. And so Kinsey's feeds are just a perfect scenario where this mindset served me. We did everything we possibly could, but at the end of the day, there were so many factors to consider. There was no way to know exactly the way things were going to go. And I just decided I wasn't going to worry about it. And so we as human beings, we have this very narrow lens. It's based on our experiences and our knowledge. And it's very narrow in the grand scheme of things, right? And there's just no way to predict every possible outcome. And it impacts our ability to foresee the other options, the factors, and the scenarios that could unfold. And so rather than spending your precious time and energy and the what ifs of what might happen, why not be willing to experience whatever does happen and practice trusting ourselves to be present, to show up in that strong energy? This is really just prioritizing those things that are most important to us and the things that we do have control over. And so, sure, I also, you know, think it is appropriate to think worst case scenario. So we're not surprised. There's nothing wrong with that. But it also means not spending more time necessary there on things that may never happen. It's an energy sucker and an energy drainer to live life that way. And so I actually looked up the definition of this saying that I have used for so many years. And so I really actually liked it. It was, let's see here. It says, the phrase you say when you have no solution to solve the problem, so you believe that it will resolve itself without any work on your part. And so when I read that, I thought it's actually very optimistic, you know, to think, you believe that it will resolve itself without any work on your part. It's like you have this belief that things are going to unfold the way they need to or the way they should, and you're not going to have to work extra hard to make that happen. Now, the very beginning part, the phrase you say when you have no solution, that's the part that's going to trip you up, because you're going to think, hey, I have a solution here. I know how to solve this problem. And that may be true, but also be thinking of the times when you had the solution and it didn't end. Was it worth your energy to fight that fight to make that point? You know, like those are the decisions, the decisions we have to make to make those powerful conversations worth it. You know, if you're just fighting a fight to be right, that's a different, it's a whole different scenario, right? So just entertain this as an option for yourself. You know, the phrase you say when you have no solution to solve the problem. And I think of these kinds of things as these problems as like the bigger gray problems of the world. You know, like it's not an absolute right or wrong. And especially in this day and age with everybody being so divided about things and being so opinionated about things, I really just use it as an opportunity to be that compassionate observer. And I'll talk about that in another podcast, but just for the sake of this conversation, just pausing to be a compassionate observer can really offer you a lot of opportunity there. And so this often applies in the world of mental health and for behavior kids. And that's been my work for the last 20 years and being a therapist with kids and families. And so kids will manipulate and divide staff. That's just their way. You know, good cop, bad cop, divide, play one against the other. That's what kids do. So in this place, it's where it's gray a lot of the times. And at the same time, there's often very strong opinions about what we should do when a kid does X. You know, this is what we should do. And you can call that maybe the more punitive route. You know, show them a lesson, have them recognize the importance of, you know, whatever that lesson is we're trying to teach them. And I agree with that 100%. But there's also arguments that we need to give grace and have empathy for their challenges and help them while they're down to encourage more momentum and growth and taking advantage of those teachable moments and, you know, giving them a hand when they're having a hard time, right? So both of those arguments are valid and can be argued either way. And this same scenario comes up with families all the time. I talk to a lot of parents who are arguing over, you know, discipline strategies and what consequences to give. And so I always just invite folks to consider, because there's just this notion that there's a right and a wrong. And honestly, you can make an argument for both. And so that's a good signal to you that this is an opportunity for you to practice this skill. So Instead of stressing out about what to do and arguing over right or wrong, why not brainstorm with that kid, using the kid as an example, like a kid who's just had a negative behavior, and brainstorm with the kid and make that solid plan and say, okay, this is what we've, where we're at. This is the struggle we've had, right? And instead of the adult dishing out that consequence, make a plan with the kid. If they reoffend or do what certain people believe they're going to do, the kid has sunk themselves. The kid has chosen the consequence, right? The kid has chosen to get that particular consequence. And if they don't, and they're safe and they're on track, then everybody's happy. So I know that's kind of a very specific example in my line of work, but it comes up so often in so many different ways that, you know, I look at that as kind of a gray area that sometimes people argue over. And to me, it's just not worth the argument. We just let the kid kind of guide. And people are hesitant to do that sometimes with kids, but they really do give us a lot of chances to practice things that are hard for us too. You know, we're asking kids to do things that sometimes we can't do it. Do ourselves. And so if we really think about that, we know that that's the truth. And so the key to that definition that I shared earlier about resolving that problem without any other work on our part, the key there is without any other work on our part. This, of course, it doesn't apply to all of our problems because we very much want to be active in our lives and solve problems. But when you start looking at this as an option in your back pocket, perhaps that it's available to you more often than you realize, you can separate your opinion and allow things to work out on their own. Like, you don't always need to share your opinion. You can practice not fighting to be right or fighting to be heard. You can start listening with that curiosity and paying attention to those nuances you wouldn't have noticed because you were in such a hurry to solve a problem that may or may not even need to be solved. You know, that's the blessing there. And so sometimes I'll think about a problem and I'll say, is this something I believe I need to dive in and solve? Or is this something that might resolve itself without any extra work on my part? And I always choose the latter if I think it's a possibility. And of course, if circumstances change or dynamics change and I need to step up and be more involved or be more opinionated or be more passionate about a topic, I do go that route. But more often than not, you'd be surprised at the things that solve themselves that, sure, I have an opinion on, but I choose not to share it, or I choose not to pick a battle because it's not worth it to me. And I also have the belief that it will naturally work itself out in the right way that it should. And so I'm big on not making something a big deal if I don't have to. And anybody that knows me knows I'll fight a good fight and I'll sacrifice my time and energy and attention when I think it's really, really important or will make a difference. But overthinking, overstressing over things that could go a million different ways, I don't do that. And I save my clients a ton of time for them as well, inviting them to make this a possible consideration for themselves as well. And so we're often really quick to judge a misstep of our own or someone else's, and we miss that bigger picture. Like, something kind of happens and we think we need to rush to solve it or jump to a conclusion or rectify it in some way. And this is just an opportunity to slow down and allow more of those things to unfold naturally. Like, sometimes I'll even say to myself, what if I wasn't here? What would happen? You know, that kind of thing, you know, and by overreacting, we potentially are preventing the problem to work itself out. Things could naturally get back on track without us ever intervening. And so, I said this to like, what happens if I do nothing? And sometimes I'm okay with that and sometimes I'm not. But if I don't ask the question, I never give myself the chance to even respond a different way or be more creative with what I do in those moments or allow those feelings to pass when I might make a different decision when I was more calm or in a different state. You know, last week I talked a lot about reaction versus responding. And this is an opportunity to really take that into consideration and respond intentionally. And so when we relax and entertain that possibility that some things do just work themselves out, look for the opportunities to do it. Practicing the pause just to see. And I bet you're going to start to notice where an opinion you have doesn't really need to be shared, or a battle doesn't need to be picked. And you can choose peace and ease over that hustle and hurry and hard problem solving, you know, solution finding mode. You know, the options really are endless for both directions. And sometimes just by pulling out, you are helping to solve the problem. You're helping to simplify the entire scenario. So again, it's not apathetic. It's inviting a more intentional response on your part and perhaps on the part of other people as well. So I hope this was helpful. I look forward to seeing you guys and talking to you guys in the group. For those of you that are there, if you're not, it's Divas with Drive, Bounce Back from Burnout on Facebook. And I hope you have an amazing week, and I will talk to you guys next time. Bye-bye.